الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and as such we praise Him, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, Al-Shaykh Al-Sahib Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullahi Alayh, we were dealing with the attributes of pardoning, forgiveness, mercy, might and omnipotence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the bab, or the chapter, dealing with these five qualities. We've so far tackled three of them, and the last week in fact we were dealing with Al-Izzah, right? That Allah Azza wa Jal is the one whose honor, it's the izzah as honor or might. It has a number of explanations, and actually Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala will go into that breakdown, the various meanings of izzah and how it is to be understood as a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned last week that, you know, the believers are find honor in Islam, that we should find honor in Islam. At no point should we degrade ourselves or belittle ourselves or do something that contradicts this dignity that Allah has blessed us with. And of course it was narrated that Umar radiallahu anhu was, when he was going to Palestine for the Quds in order to open it, he had taken off his khuf, right, his socks, and he placed them on his shoulder. And one of the companions, I don't recall his name, told him, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, we're going to see the people, man, you know. Come on, you know, look representable," something along these lines. He said, "Wallahi, if it was somebody other than you, I would have made him an example for this ummah," meaning I would have beat you up. But because he had a special virtue, the Sahabi, Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, he let it go. He said, "Verily, we were people, kunna aqwamun adilla. We were dishonored, people humiliated. فَأَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Then Allah honored us with Islam. فَإِذَا ابْتَغَيْنَا الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِ إِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. If we seek honor outside the boundaries of Islam, Allah shall humiliate us." Right? So he understood that Islam was the means of honor. The Sahaba said, the Muslims never felt lack of honor ever since Umar embraced Islam. Right? Ever since he became a Muslim, the whole thing, situation changed. You know, this was a man who, when he wanted to do hijrah, you know, everybody, when they wanted to do hijrah, they were running away. He said, "Look, I'm going over, you know, this side of the road. I'm doing hijrah. If anyone wants his mother to be bereaved by his death tonight, let him come after me. If anybody wants his mother to cry over him because of his death tonight, let him go after me on this over the mountain." And he was a man. And this one, nobody would even talk to Umar ibn al-Khattab. So anyways, he understood though that Izzah was with Islam, right? And not elsewhere. The Shaykh says, وَفِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ الْكَرِيمَةِ إِثْبَاتُ الْعِزَّةِ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. In this ayah, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, this ayah has the evidence which affirms the quality of Izzah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وذكر أهل العلم أن العزة تنقسم إلى ثلاثة أقسام. And the people of knowledge have mentioned that عزة is divided into three main categories. عزة القدرة, the عزة of omnipotence, ability, ultimate absolute ability. Okay, nothing, no preventives. وعزة القهر, and the honor of irresistibility, being irresistible, ultimately powerful, over powerful. وَعِزَّةُ الْإِمْتِنَاعِ, and the عِزَّة of being untouched, alaykum salam, untouchability, untouchable. No one can affect or harm in any way, shape or form. Ultimately, untouchable. You know, the untouchable is one that's beyond, no, there's no means to to affect this person or to cause any harm or damage in any way, shape or form. Now the Shaykh, these are the titles, then he will break it down. He says, فَعِزَّةُ الْقُدْرَةِ مَعْنَاهُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى ذُو قَدْرٍ أَوْ ذُو قَدْرٍ عَزِيزٍ يَعْنِي لَا نَظِيرَ لَهُ. That means that Allah Azza wa Jal is the possessor of the might and omnipotence that has no equal to it. Nadir is equal, similar, nothing similar to it, in the ultimate sense. يعني فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيد. He does what he wills, right? وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. And Allah is able to do all things. The second, وَعِزَّةُ الْقَهْرِ هِيَ عِزَّةُ الْغَلَبَةِ يَعْنِي أَنَّهُ غَالِبٌ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. The second kind is irresistibility or irresistible, which is that of overpowering, meaning he overpowers everything. قَاهِرُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. وَمِنْهُ قَوْلُ تَعَالَى فَقَالَ أَكْفِلْنِيهَا وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. In Surah Sa'd, Allah says, so He said, entrust her to me, that Na'ja, and He overpowered me in speech. So what is the word? عَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. He overpowered me in speech. It was a strong argument, right? I have 99 Na'jas, you have one. Just give it to me. You know, what's the point? Huh? So it was said that Dawood alayhi salatu salam, he did not hear the other end. Upon hearing the first party who they came to dispute in front of him, so he may judge. Upon hearing the first party, this is from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentioned this in the tafsir of Juz' Amma. He gave him the judgment, and this is that thing that he did which made him return to Allah Azza wa Jal in repentance and so on and so forth. Because the judge must hear both sides. Because you come, you'll have a woman, you know, call the judge and say, my husband is oppressing me, my husband is beating me, my husband is so on. So he's already in his mind that the husband is the most terrible man in the world, right? Just until he hears the husband. And then he realizes that this is, you know, exaggerations, fabrications, and it's really things that she was responsible for. So one must hear both parties before one make a judgment. We often get excited, and we, ala tool, we judge. But actually, to be a fair judge, you hear both sides. Then you evaluate accordingly. طيب. Verse 23. يعني غلبني في الخطاب, meaning he overpowered me in speech. فالله سبحانه وعزيز لا غالب له بل هو غالب كل شيء. So Allah Azza wa Jal is almighty, full of might and honor. No one can overpower him, he overpowers everything. وعزة الامتناع وهي أن الله تعالى يمتنع أن يناله سوء أو نقص. Which means that Allah Azza wa Jal, it is impossible that Allah will be affected with any harm or any deficiency. فَهُوَ مَأْخُوذٌ مِنَ الْقُوَّةِ وَالصَّلَابَةِ. And this is derived from power and strength. وَمِنْهُ قَوْلُهُمْ أَرْضٌ عِزَازٌ يعني قَوِيَّ شَدِيدًا. When they describe a land, a particular soil, they say that it is strong. You know, it is fixed. It's not fragile. هَذِهِ مَعَانِ الْعِزَّةِ الَّتِي أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لِنَفْسِهِ. These are the meanings, the various meanings of عِزَّة, which Allah Azza wa Jal has affirmed to Himself. وَهِيَ تَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالِ قَهْرِهِ وَسُلْطَانِهِ. And they are indicative of Allah's ultimate, complete irresistibility and authority. وَعَلَى كَمَالِ صِفَاتِهِ, and the perfection of Allah's attributes. وَعَلَى تَمَامِ تَنَزُّهِهِ عَنِ النَّقْصِ. And the fact that Allah is the most self-sufficient and free from having any deficiencies or any weaknesses or anything of this nature. وَعَلَى تَمَامِ صِفَاتِهِ وَكَمَالِهِ عَفْوًا تَدُلُّ عَلَى كَمَالِ قَهْرِهِ وَسُلْطَانِهِ فِي عِزَّةِ الْقَهْرِ. It also indicates Allah's ultimate power and authority in terms of no one being able to stand against the statements of Allah, the commandments of Allah, Iblis and whoever is below him. All of them are in no position to contend Allah Azza wa Jalla in any way, shape or form. Had Allah not decreed that human beings will be tested by the survival of Iblis and him being allowed to have some authority over the children of Adam, Iblis had no authority. He wasn't some independent power that was... Allah created him, right? So he's the creation of Allah. He is subdued by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah decreed that this happens in order for the examination to take place. otherwise, if there's no examination, then the good and the bad will pass. And this is not fair. This is not right. The hard-working student should not receive a grade equal to the lousy student. We don't accept that in real life, but people want that in paradise. So okay, let God put everybody in paradise. But some people don't deserve paradise. I mean, you must earn paradise. So that's what it is, ultimately. وعلى تمام صفاته وكماله وأنه لا مثيل لها في عزة القدر. And that the perfection of Allah's names and attributes is redundant. وعلى تمام تنزهه عن العيب والنقص في عزة الامتناع. So he's rephrasing them, in fact, you know, how he defined them. Now he's mentioning that how this kind of izzah means that he is, Allah Azza wa Jal is perfect in this particular sense. That Allah is untouchable. And we don't mean here, alaykum salam, we're not talking about any physical touching either. What is intended even linguistically by untouchable, meaning someone that no one can reach. It may be a boss at work. It doesn't mean that no one can touch him. Huh? It means that he is just so far above, that he's so ahead, that no one can reach him. So we're meaning here in the metaphorical meaning of the word, and not in a literal sense. Don't be thinking about touching in any way, shape or form. وقوله ولرسوله وللمؤمنين يعني أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم له عزة وللمؤمنين أيضا عزة وغلبة. Meaning the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has عزة, honor as well, and the believers have honor and some power as well. ولكن يجب أن نعلم أن العزة التي أثبتها الله لرسوله وللمؤمنين ليست كعزة الله. Very important. We should understand that the عزّة which Allah has affirmed to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the believers is unlike the عزّة which Allah has affirmed to Himself. Otherwise, we're falling into tashbih, likening Allah to His creation, or likening Allah's attributes to that of His creation. We know from the previous durus, obviously, that there's nothing like Allah in His actions, in His names, in His attributes. Right? There's nothing like Allah, ultimately. So this can never be the case. فَإِنَّ عِزَّةَ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ قَدْ يَشُوبُهَا ذِلَّةً أَوْ ذُلَّةً. He says, because the عِزَّة of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers may be afflicted at some times with some humiliation. لقوله تعالى وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّةً. Allah says in the Quran, interpretation of the meaning, and already had Allah granted you victory at the battle of Badr while you were few in number. أذلّة. You didn't have that power. وَقَدْ يُغْلَبُونَ أَحْيَانًا لِحِكْمَةٍ يُرِيدُهَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And they may be defeated at times. The Muslims may be defeated at times due to some wisdom which Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed. فَفِي أُحُدٍ لَمْ يَحْصُلْ لَهُمْ تَمَامُ الْعِزَّةِ أَوْ تَمَامَ الْعِزَّةِ. In Uhud, they were unable to attain the ultimate عِزَّة. Why? Because some had disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He commanded the Rumat, those who have the bows and arrows, to remain in a particular strategic mountain, and you know they were told, don't move under any circumstances, okay, no matter what happens, don't move until you're told to move. So they were watching over the battle, and it appeared that the Muslims had gained the battle. It was a victory for the Muslims, and so they rushed, right? They were hasty, and some of them left that position and others remained. In the process, Khalid ibn al-Walid saw before he became a Muslim, he saw this advantage for this place. He took over that, and then the battle was turned around. So what was a quick or an easy defeat for the Muslims turned out to be something else. Why? Because of disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's a lesson in that if we ponder and reflect upon that. لأنهم غلبوا في النهاية لحكم عظيمة. غلبوا في النهاية لحكم عظيمة. They were defeated in Uhud, right? They didn't have the ultimate عزة and honor and power because they were defeated for great wisdoms. The lessons we learned, alhamdulillah. وكذلك في حنين ولوا مدبرين. Also in the battle of Hunain, the Muslims left. ولم يبقى مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع 12,000 إلا نحو 100 رجل. Even though they were with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, 12,000 men, only 100 remained defending him alayhi salatu wasalam. هذا أيضا فقد للعزة. This is also a lack of honor. لكنه مؤقت. But it is temporary. It's not permanent. أما عزة الله عز وجل فلا يمكن أبدا أن تفقد. Whereas the might and the power and the honor of Allah is something that can never be lost. Right? There's no, you know, ups and downs in it, as it is the case with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the believers. وبهذا عرفنا أن العزة التي أثبتها الله لرسوله وللمؤمنين ليست كالعزة التي أثبتها لنفسه. By that we understand and come to know that the power which Allah had affirmed to Himself and the Messenger and the believers is unlike the one He had affirmed to Himself سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا أيضا يمكن أن يؤخذ من القاعدة العامة. And this could be also understood and deduced from the general principle. وهي أنه لا يلزم من اتفاق الاسمين أن يتماثل المسميان. Which is the fact that two things have the name as a common factor between them does not necessitate that the essence is the same. Right? And we have thousands of examples. The most classical one is the statement of Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, who said, the only thing in common between that which you see in the dunya and that which Allah has promised in Jannah is the name. There's a tree here, there's a tree in Jannah. There's fruits over here, there are fruits in Jannah. There are women here and there are women in Jannah. The only thing in common is the name. Only. The essence, ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. No eyes ever seen, no ears ever heard, never come across a human's imagination, something that is beyond imagination. So this is a principle in Islam then. Two things sharing the name does not necessitate that the essence is the same. Okay, just the name does not mean that the essence is one and the same. وَلَا مِنْ اتِّفَاقِ الصِّفَتَيْنِ أَنْ يَتَمَاثَلِ الْمَوْصُوفَانِ. And also, two things sharing an attribute does not mean that the ultimate essence of the attribute is the same. For instance, we say that this ant is strong and this elephant is strong. The fact that both are given that adjective or that quality of strength, it does not mean that the strength of the element is like that of the elephant. The ant and the elephant, each is strong in their own field, in their own perspectives. So this is what is intended. If two things even share an attribute, does not mean that the essence of the attribute is identical, right? Each has its own characteristics. And so that concludes the Izzah. الآية الرابعة, which also is in Izzah, never mind about concluding Izzah. في العزة أيضا, وهي قوله عن إبليس فبعزتك لأغوينهم أجمعين. This is the statement of Iblis عليه لعنة الله. He says, by your might I will surely mislead them all. This is a promise that he gave. I hope inshallah ta'ala Allah will protect us from being among those whom he will mislead. Many of them, many human beings will follow Iblis عليه لعنة الله. This is called the slip of a tongue. And Allah says, you know, ربنا لا تؤخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Either way, I didn't finish it. Take it easy on me, man. You're waiting for the letter, huh? طيب يا إبراهيم. المهم, الباء هنا للقسم. باء is a letter of swearing, right? It's حرف جر usually. باء has a number of rules or in the Arabic language. We have أحرف القسم, which is the lam and the باء and sometimes others. واو. المهم, هنا باء للقسم. الباء هنا للقسم لكنه اختار القسم بالعزة دون غيرها من الصفات. However, Iblis عليه لعنة الله chose to swear by the عزه of Allah even though he could have chosen other attributes. He could have said برحمتك, بقوتك, بقدرتك, whatever, any of the attributes of Allah. But why did he choose عزة? لأن المقام مقام مغالبة. Because the scenario is one of competition, right? فكأنه قال بعزتك التي تغلب بها من سواك لأغوين هؤلاء وأسيطر عليهم. As if he's saying, by your might, who you're able, by which you're able to defeat others, I will mislead them and take control over them. يعني بني آدم. Who's intended is the children of Adam. And the jinn, actually. حتى يخرجوا من الرشد إلى الغي. Until they leave Rushd, which is knowledge, being guided based on knowledge, whereas Ghay is being deliberately deviant, right? Because there's the difference between dalal and hidayah and rushd and ghay. Rushd and ghay are more particular. Rushd is basically having being rightly guided upon insight, upon knowledge. Yani it's stronger in meaning than hidayah. And ghay is the opposite of that, right? Where a person yani is choosing the ways of deviance and he's astray with knowledge on that. He knows what he's doing. وَيُسْتَثْنَى مِنْ هَذَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ الْمُخْلَصُونَ الله أكبر. And an exception to that are the righteous, sincere servants of Allah. فَإِنَّ إِبْلِيسَ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ أَن يَغْوِيَهُمْ. Iblis is unable to mislead them. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ عِبَادِي لَيْسَ لَكَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانَ. Verily, indeed, my servants, no authority you will have over them. The most he will get, you know, as Ibn al-Qayyim described the various stages of the believer, and then he exemplified it as a house where there's you know bodyguards, there's you know there's protection, there's just so you have a security system. He wasn't using these words, but the idea is where if somebody was to come and steal, the chances of him being able to rob a house, a fortress that has soldiers protecting it, are very slim. You know, once in a blue moon he may be able to catch something, and soon afterwards he will be caught. Whereas a house that has jewelry and everything is open, wide open, no protection, no, you know, no bodyguards, no nothing, and he will go in and out like he likes. So he described the believer as being the true believer as being the first. Yes, you're not going to become infallible, ma'soom. You never make mistakes. Shaitan has no authority whatsoever. Absolutely, he will have some, but it doesn't reach a point where a person becomes astray. All it does is that it makes this person recognize his faults, seek Allah's forgiveness, turn in repentance, and get back on the track, right? And usually, when he gets back on the track, he's better than when he was before. This is what we must understand. And that's how Allah described Dawood and Sulaiman. That after their inaba, after their returning to Allah, they were in a better condition than before the testing. And so similarly, when we are tested in a particular fashion and we return to Allah, we should be in a better condition than the previous one. Right? Otherwise, yani shaitan is having too much authority over our lives. And so we should be mindful of this and not let this, you know, this bastard ruin our lives. Ultimately, his goal is to go to Jahannam. Ultimately, his goal is that we enter Jahannam with him. And then after we enter Jahannam, only will he say, وَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. I promised you, but I betrayed my promise. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, blame yourselves. Ajib. Wicked, you know. It's like, you know, your friend in school, right? You know, you have in a class, and then you all decided, I mean, I hope you don't do this anymore, but back in the days when you used to copy, you know, cheating, right? And you all agree that you're going to cheat from one another, you have the book and everything, the teacher, whatever. So anyways, one of the students is caught, right? Now what is he supposed to do? Just leave. But he is, you know, teacher, they're cheating too. Come on, man, you know, if you got busted, leave us alone. Right, not that this is okay, I'm not saying that this is okay, but I'm telling you, how would you feel about this person? If you get busted, khalas, imshi, let us do our thing. So this kind of person is the worst, right? He's like, you know, he's evil already for cheating, and then he wants everybody to go down with him. So, you know, if this is the case, then that's what shaitan will be doing on the Day of Judgment. So, inshallah ta'ala, we will go on separate paths. He will go on one path to Jahannam, and inshallah ta'ala, we go on a path to Jannah, but that requires some effort. It doesn't happen by wishing and hoping and saying, Wallah, Allahu ghafur wa rahim. Nah. It doesn't happen this way. طيب على كل حال ففي هاتين الآيتين إثبات العزة لله. In these two ayat, we have affirmation of Allah's quality of عزّة. Honor, might, power, however you want to translate it. وفي الآية الثانية إثبات أن الشيطان يقر بصفات الله. And this is the amazing part. In the second ayah, there's evidence that even shaitan, Iblis, he affirms Allah's attributes, whereas some of the believers don't. And this is similar to the belief system of Fir'aun. Fir'aun used to believe that Allah is above the creation. Right or wrong? He told Haman in the Quran, يا هامان ابني لي صرحا لعلي أبلغ الأسباب. أسباب السماوات فأطلع إلى إله موسى. O Haman, build for me a tower construction so I may arise in the heavens. Why? So I may look at Musa's God. Meaning that he must have been taught during back that time with Musa that Allah Azza wa Jalla is above his creation. Now you have Muslims that say that no, Allah is everywhere. Fir'aun had a better understanding of the names and attributes of Allah than some Muslims today. And in this case, among the Asha'ira and the Mu'tazila, those who deny Allah's attributes, Shaitan believes in the attributes of Allah more than some of the Muslims. It doesn't mean that Shaitan is better than them, right? Of course, the Muslim is the Muslim. But in this field, in this area, their misunderstanding has reached such a drastic level that they are below the Shaitan in terms of understanding. That's what the Shaykh is trying to prove. He says, فَكَيْفَ نَجِدُ مِن بَنِي آدَمْ مَنْ يُنْكِرُ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ أَوْ بَعْضِهَا. Then how is it that we find among the children of Adam those who deny Allah's attributes or some of them? أَيَكُونُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْلَمُ بِاللَّهِ. Is Shaitan more knowledgeable of Allah? وَأَعْقَلُ مَسْلَكًا مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ النُّفَاتِ. And he is... So could the shaitan be, aqalu maslak, and he has a more sound path or understanding or methodology than those deniers, nufat, from yanfi, denying Allah's names and attributes? Allah musta'an. Ma nastafiduhu min al-nahiya al-maslakiyya. Now, what is the practical benefit that we gain from this understanding of ours? Awalan fil afwi wa safh. First, in Allah's qualities of pardoning, and we said afu and safh, there's a slight variation where afu is just to pardon, safh is to act like absolutely nothing happened. Khalas, it's as if nothing happened. وهو أننا إذا علمنا أن الله عفو وأنه قدير أوجب لنا ذلك أن نسأله العفو دائما وأن نرجو منه العفو عما حصل منا من التقصير في الواجب. If we do know that Allah is the one who pardons and he's able to do all things, then this necessitates that we ask him continuously to pardon us, and that we should hope that he will pardon us for any shortcomings we have in terms of obligations. أما العزة أيضا نقول إذا علمنا أن الله عزيز فإننا لا يمكن أن نفعل فعلا نحارب الله فيه. If we do know that Allah is mighty, powerful, then we will not be able to do something which will entail fighting against Allah, waging war against Allah, because we will be defeated. One of these ways is harb, is riba. Riba is one of the ways where a person is waging war against Allah, because Allah said that war will be waged against him. The second one that we just got recently is wali. من آذى من عاد لي وليا فقد أذنته بالحرب. Whoever has enmity against one of my righteous servants, one of Allah's close friends in a sense, then Allah has declared war against him. Hey. So this is why when it comes to the ulama, we should keep it shut. Okay? If we don't have knowledge to know who is what and who is otherwise, we just hear this person criticizing this sheikh and throwing him from the top of the mountain all the way to Jahannam as a deviant, evil, misguided person, based on speculations, based on assumptions, then we don't get involved in that, because we may be speaking about one of Allah's awliya without knowledge. So the ulama are the ones who criticize others when necessary or when the situation is clear. Someone is doing bid'ah outwardly, then we warn the people against this bid'ah and the propagator of the bid'ah so they may know. But some people have went to extreme where their daily work and business is finding faults in Muslims, even though they themselves don't know the Fatiha. Tell him to recite the Fatiha, he will have 15 mistakes. But mention any Muslim in the world, he will give you his biography about his why he's deviant and so on and so forth. So the shaitan has tricked them, and they're fooling with the worst. And I believe it was Ibn Sirin, he used to say that the flesh of the ulama is poisonous. Because when you backbite your brother, you're eating his flesh, right? Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Do not backbite one another. If one of you want to eat the flesh of his brother while he's dead, you surely hate that. So that he was saying the flesh of the ulama is poisonous. I mean, you bite some of that stuff, and most likely, unless Allah has mercy on you, you will be destroyed. And we've seen these people. We've seen these people who got overexcited in this field of supposedly warning the Muslims from deviant people until they themselves became deviant. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ Hard-hearted, you know, pushing the people away from the deen. The da'wah requires wisdom, it requires gentleness. You want to bring the people over to the way of the Salaf, the righteous predecessors. If you're going to act a particular way where the people don't want to associate with you, then they will never come to the da'wah. And if you don't love for them the da'wah, then you're just a sectarian, you're a factionalism. You're just following a movement. You are belonging to a sect, and you're no longer trying to please Allah and propagate the truth. You see what I'm saying? So this mentality is very, you know, spreading right now under different names of different clubs and ahzab membership, you know, membership card. You hold a club membership holder where you belong to this group, you do things in the name of the group, and that's it. You don't associate with anyone else. But there are times where you need to associate for da'wah. Not because you're your buddies, if they're innovators, of course there's a big difference between the Sunnis and the people of innovation. However, if we don't give them da'wah, how are they going to come over? And how many have come over? Many! Because one brother or a number had some wisdom in dealing with them. So, you know, you find one who was belonging to this jama'ah, eventually leave alone the jama'ah and start following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, abandoning, you know, following the religion of the forefathers or the founders of this particular movement. So, you know, this we need to understand, right? We don't want to oppose Allah, declare war by picking on one of Allah's righteous servants. We have to be very technical. Either we have sound knowledge about this person's errors and we clarify them accordingly for the people to be aware of it, or we just hold back. Let the ulama mention the errors of the ulama. It is not the job of every Tom, Dick and Harry to come and speak about every Muslim in the world, because this is means of weakness for us. Now, مثلا الإنسان المرابي في معاملته مع الله المحاربة. الإنسان المرابي معاملته مع الله المحاربة. The one who is in a state of riba is in fact the form of transaction he's having with Allah is that of war, declaring war. فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله. Allah says, and if you do not abandon the riba, what has left from the riba, then prepare yourselves from war from Allah and His Messenger. إذا علمنا أن الله ذو عزة لا يغلب فإنه لا يمكننا أن نقدم على محاربة الله عز وجل. So if we know that Allah is undefeatable, right? He's the all powerful, then we will never try to dare to even declare war or do something that will entail Allah declaring war against us. قطع الطريق محاربة. إنما جزاء الذين يحاربون الله ورسوله ويسعون في الأرض فسادا أن يقتلوا أو يصلبوا أو تقطع أيديهم وأرجلهم من خلاف أو ينفوا من الأرض. Indeed, the penalty for those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger and strive upon earth corruption is none but that they be killed or crucified, or that their hands and feet be cut off from opposite sides, or that they will be exiled from the land. So then, those who declare war against Allah and His Messenger, those who terrorize the Muslims, you know, the people who terrorize the Muslims, who cause fitna among the Muslims, the lack of security, where you're living in fear, bombing places and so on and so forth, among the Muslims, not among the kuffar, among the Muslims, this is all included in that. The people, the robbers, highway robbers, right? Those who wait for the people to be driving by, then they pull out a gun and rob his car and everything, throw him in the street and go. These are major sins in Islam, because it entails major oppression. And this is the ruling in the Quran, that they will be crucified, or they will be killed, or that they will be cut off. You know, they cut off his right arm and his left leg. So it will be opposite sides. So, you know, this is the punishment that Allah had prepared for them. In the dunya. فَإِذَا عَلِمْنَا أَنَّ قَطْعَ الطَّرِيقِ مُحَارَبَةٌ لِلَّهِ وَأَنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ مَعَيْكُمْ سَلَامٌ امْتَنَعْنَا عَنْ هَذَا الْعَمَلِ لِأَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَالِبِ. So if you know that this kind of action, highway robbery, is means of declaring war against Allah and might belongs to Allah, then we will avoid doing this action because Allah is the one who will be victorious. ويمكن أن نقول فيها فائدة من الناحية المسلكية أيضا، وهي أن الإنسان المؤمن ينبغي له أن يكون عزيزا في دينه بحيث لا يذل أمام أحد من الناس. Another practical benefit which we may add, the Sheikh says, that the believing human being should find honor and power in his religion. We were dealing with that before you, some of you brothers came. He should find honor in his religion, and that he should not be humiliated in front of any human being whatsoever. كائنا من كان, whoever it is, right? You stand with your iman. إلا على المؤمنين, except with other believers. فيكون عزيزا على الكافرين ذليلا على المؤمنين. So he is strong in the face of the kuffar, humble with the believers, not the other way around. Nowadays it's the other way around. Khawaja X is coming, oh, bring the coffee and the tea and the tamar and the whole dunya, but the whole business should be changed, change the carpet, vacuum, clean, because Khawaja Kafir is coming to the business. But a brother is coming, you know, especially bearded, you know, if somebody's trying to practice the sunnah, then he's more belittled in the sight of the people, as if no one is coming, right? Even though it should be the other way around. When that brother comes, this is the one that you should put on your shoulders. And when the kafir comes, يعني أي كلام, unless you want to give him da'wah, so you try to be nice because of the da'wah. But if you have no intention to give him da'wah, and some people, they're not thinking that I'm trying to win him over to Islam. It's really respect, ultimate respect, and that they hold in their hearts to these kafara, which they don't have for their Muslim brothers. So when their co-workers with them from another nationality, they look down upon him. They treat him as he is inferior to them. This is a big sickness, man. Huge sickness that is foreign to Islam. When Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu had fought one time, there was a dispute between him and Bilal. And so during the process, he got a little excited in his statement, and he told them, you know, son of a black woman, right? So Bilal went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained that what Abu Dharr had said. So Abu Dharr told him, أَعَيَّرْتَهُ بِأُمِّهِ, you degraded him because of his mother. إِنَّكَ مْرُؤٌ فِيهِ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ, you are a man with ignorance, jahiliya, in you. Now Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu felt extremely guilty, and he went back to Bilal and he said, listen, I will place my face on the ground so you may step on it, and I will not remove it until you are done, just to make it even. It was, you know, sometimes if you were living in Jahiliyyah, right, if you were not guided and Allah guides you, sometimes during some of your, you know, daily business, you get overexcited and you do some of the things you did back in Jahiliyyah, you know, unwillingly. You may curse, you know, if you used to use bad language even after Hidayah, one time, you know, it may slip out of your mouth, or you may do something that is from your old days. So this was, we don't belittle or you put, you know, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, from great Sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ spoke many, you know, gave many good qualities about, but this was a moment of weakness, and Prophet ﷺ rectified it and he repented to Allah. So he told him, you step on my face, right? And then what did Bilal tell him? He said, I were never to put my foot on someone's face when that face had prostrated to Allah. Right. So, and he said, غَفَرَ اللَّهِ. So they both started crying. He said, may Allah forgive you. And they hugged each other, and the story was over. So when the Prophet ﷺ saw that some people still had this kind of mentality, that nationalism or racism, I am from here, you're from there, and this was a, he said, this is jahiliyyah. But we have jahiliyyah today. Jahiliyyah is very, we have many of the jahiliyyah, is we're living today as Muslims. Allah al-Musta'an, that's why we should adhere strictly to the sunnah and understand, you know, the deen in that right context. So when we see a brother, we honor him because of his righteousness. He's a righteous brother, we kiss his forehead if necessary. But if it is not, it doesn't matter who he is, then he doesn't receive the same treatment as a believer. So this, you know, لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا لأسود على أبيض أو لأبيض على أسود إلا بالتقوى. There is no virtue for an Arab over a non-Arab, or a black or a white over a black, except with taqwa. Whoever was among the muttaqeen is in the sight of Allah among the righteous servants. They used to say, the Sahaba, that Abu Bakr Sayyiduna wa a'taqa Sayyidina. Abu Bakr is our يعني, leader, and he freed our leader, Bilal. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the one who purchased him, and then he freed him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they call Abu Bakr and Bilal Sayyid, master, our master. So this is what Islam, you know, they broke the boundaries of racism, which, you know, was existing in the United States until very recent times. Supposedly the most liberated people in the world, when they wrote the American Constitution, part of the amendments was that black person is equal to the black person is one third of a white man. You think I'm joking? Go look at it in the, you know, Washington. They have it ingrained, you know, engraved outside on some things, that the black man was one third of the white man. And these were the most intellectual, liberated people at that time. This was the law of the country. And so black people were not allowed to ride on the buses, not allowed to go to the restaurants. And just the other day on CNN, not the TV, alhamdulillah, the TV is something else, we don't, alhamdulillah, but really, whatever. On the CNN news, on this internet, a black boxer is still being persecuted, or they're trying to free him for persecution for having had a white girlfriend back in the 1950s or something. Because they were saying, how could a black man have relation with a white woman? This is something abhorrent. So this is the mentality of the people whom the Muslims are looking up to, and the youth are looking up to. These are the same Americans who have this kind of sickness just a few years ago. It still remains. Don't think that they've stopped. People still have this tendency. Now they say outwardly that there's all, you know, everything is good and dandy. Wallahi, it is not. The white people still have issues with the black people. And the black people obviously have issues with the white people because of the oppression that they had to undergo. So this must be clear. Islam doesn't have that. Islam does not have that. It's either taqwa or lack of taqwa. Case closed. We're all the children of Adam, and Adam is from dust, and it's all going to be the same on the Day of Judgment. Everybody will be good, inshallah. So then the Shaykh said that, and with that we should conclude, because the next topic is ithbatul ism lillah, affirming Allah's name, Allah having a name. And this is يعني, a little technical. And so bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, we will postpone this till next week if we all remain alive. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.